All right, if you would please turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. This is a record I think most of you are familiar with. It's something that I've alluded to, shared a little bit regarding, but I thought we'd just spend some real time with this. It's quite a chapter in God's Word, and what is being taught is pretty amazing. Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior of mankind has many titles or name tags. And they reflect really who he was and what it was he was accomplishing. For instance, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. He was the true shepherd. He was the Word made flesh. He was the true light. Right? All of these things, and they really shed beautiful insight into the greatness of what it is the Father and the Son accomplished for mankind. Today what we're going to zero in on is when he referred to himself as the bread of life. Okay? And so to do that, we're going to begin in verse 1. In verse 1 it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Let me set the timing of this. This was right after the return of the 12. Remember, he sent the 12 out to heal the sick, preach the kingdom of God, cast out devils. Well, they had just returned. Also, he had just heard regarding John the Baptist being killed. So he wanted to, when you put this with the other Gospels, he wanted to depart and be alone with the 12. Okay? So that's the timing of this. Verse 2. But a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles or the signs which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. This was actually likely Tishri 1, which was the Day of Trumpets. But that's doesn't have much to do with what we're going to consider this morning. Verse 5, and when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, I just want to stop here for a moment. When you put this together with the gospel records of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what we're reading at this point took place after teaching the multitude all day long and healing those who needed healing. Okay? So this had gone on all day. So, but there's a training here. By this time, the disciples had seen a lot. They had seen, by this time, they had seen Jesus Christ exercise his authority over devils, exercise his authority over nature itself. They had seen some things. They had seen some real power. And so in this situation, you've got all these people. It's late. They've been going all day. And it's just beautiful. He lifts up his eyes, saw a great company, and said unto Philip, Philip, where are we going to buy bread that these may eat? And he said this to prove or test him, for he himself knew what he would do. He was teaching, you know, encouraging Philip, you know, consider something, consider who I am. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That's between 6 and 9 months' salary for the average person. That much money wouldn't have bought enough. So, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? What are they among so many? And Jesus said, this is so awesome, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Okay? And Jesus took the loaves. Now this is illustrative of a far deeper truth, what is happening here. Jesus took the loaves. There were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He says he broke it, and he thanked God in heaven. Okay? By this time, all these people were seated in companies, and he distributed to the who? To the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. So you've got to picture this. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Christ. He is supplying his disciples. Those disciples are moving out and distributing this food. So when Jesus Christ is breaking this bread and doing this, you got to understand, he's breaking bread, giving to the disciples. They pass some out, they come back, he breaks it, gives more, 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 more. You get it? More. They keep coming back for more. Handing out to another company of 50. Another. There were 5,000 men. You know what that means? There were probably 7,000 people there. You got women and children. Isn't that awesome? He just keeps supplying. Keeps supplying. See? It's interesting. And it's an amazing illustration of where this is ultimately going. So, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, this also would have taken some time. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I guess that settles the question whether or not the Lord could prepare a table in the wilderness. You know, this record is sort of a nod to that shepherd that is talked about in Psalm 22. Isn't that something? And really in some other places. So, they see this. They end up with more than they started with. Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. This is a referring to a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15, where Moses said, a prophet like unto me shall the Lord your God raise up, unto him shall you hearken. And so after seeing this miracle, this is him. And then the next verse, which is very revealing or very telling. When Jesus, therefore, verse 15, perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. You know, it's kind of interesting considering this verse. Their idea of a Messiah, there were a number of different ideas, but basically the idea was is that Messiah would establish Israel, overcome, kick the Romans out. He would be a great conqueror. That was the concept they had, the idea they had. They didn't understand. And it speaks to why the disciples had a hard time with this. They didn't understand that it would be by way of his sacrificial death that he would conquer all. Also, you want to consider this amazing temptation for Jesus Christ to enter into his kingdom without the cross. But he had to do it God's way. It's really remarkable. So, verse 16. Now when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. And another gospel says he sent them down there because he was taking care of the people. And entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark. And Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Now this was dark. It's dark. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, that's around 3 miles, something like that, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. When you read this in Mark, he was walking and he was passing them by. He wasn't planning on stopping. But they screamed out for fear. And Jesus said, "It's me. It's me." In Matthew, what is not included here, that's when Peter said, "If it's you, bid me walk on water." And Peter walked on the water. Isn't that something? See, so that's what this is. And I'll tell you something else that's interesting about this. This amazing thing that we're reading here, this miracle of him walking on the water, they're seeing that, you know, Peter walking on the water. It was the 12. They're the only ones that saw this. And what's sort of interesting is that where this record ends, it ends again with the 12. So keep that in mind as we read. So, but he said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." And then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. So, basically the picture here is that these multitudes came back looking for Jesus because they had not seen him leave. They'd seen the 12. When Jesus walked on the water, that would have been approximately 3, 4 in the morning. So they didn't see him do that. So they go back looking for him, realize he's not there. They saw that Jesus wasn't there, neither his disciples, and they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus, which makes sense because at this point, Capernaum was kind of like a headquarters from where Jesus Christ was ministering. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when did you come over? Verse 26. He doesn't answer their question. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And what we're going to see here, they couldn't get their eyes off of the physical need. They were really driven by their stomachs rather than their hearts. And they couldn't get past that. And you see Jesus Christ trying to raise it. See? And in the process of reading this record, you get a beautiful picture of what a hard heart looks like. It just can't get past the physical, the temporary. And it prevents them from believing him who he is. See? So, you're looking for another free meal. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. That's a deep verse. He is telling them basically who he is. That Son of Man, their knowledge of the word, it would have taken them to the proclamation in Daniel, unto whom would be given the everlasting kingdom. The Son of Man shall give you everlasting life. It's just, that's so cool. Anyway. So, labor not, but endureth under everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Verse 28. Now watch this. Watch this. It's subtle. They say unto him, what shall... What's the next word? Yeah. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? He had just said, the Son of Man will give unto you everlasting life, right? But boy, that flesh, what do we do to work the works of God? Well, Jesus answered and said unto them, here's the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thine work? This is what a hard heart does. They understood when he said, him hath God sealed. They understood that he was sent from God, that he was saying he was sent from God. But they weren't believing. They weren't believing. And they wanted to see a sign. When we read this record, it says that they came not because of the miracles or the signs. Right? But for the food. See? That's a hard heart. They had seen some things. They had seen a day of teaching and healing. So, verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And really what he's teaching here is that God is the source. What he does is, they had lauded Moses, you know, that prophet like unto Moses. In some of their writings, they believed that once again there would be manna from heaven when that prophet came. It was just a myriad of things they believed. See? And Jesus Christ is turning this right around. First of all, it was God that supplied that manna. And God is now supplying the true bread. Because this bread that I am speaking to you about is what will give true life. Real life. It's just, for the bread of God is he, verse 33, which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. You mean this bread, it lasts forever? It doesn't spoil? Heck, manna wasn't even that good. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. You know, in these phrases, come to me, it's a beautiful way of saying believe. We'll see a little bit more of this as we go. Come to me equals to believe on him, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise... Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, you also have seen me, and what? Believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is beautiful. This is stated in a negative way. In John 10, it's stated a little differently. When he is speaking of himself as the shepherd. As a matter of fact, keep your finger here. Let's read that real quick. Keep your finger here, just a couple pages. John 10, verse 26. Let's start in verse 26. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that beautiful? I and my Father are one. I'm not going to lose one. He's saying the same thing in John, but it's a figure stating it in a negative way to really emphasize how that all who come to him, and he's going to get into it even a little bit more in a minute, none will be lost. Isn't that something? For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This see the Son to see the Son is equal to believing. It is to believe on Him. Now, verse 41, He had just been speaking to the multitude. Now, beginning in verse 41, He turns to the Jews. They murmured because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He says, I came down from heaven? Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. You know, this is not unlike a statement that He makes coming up, and it was at the Feast of Weeks, if I remember right, where he said, I will be raised and will draw all men unto me. And then it says, this signifying by which death you would die. It was the raising, referring to that sacrifice, how that He would conquer by that sacrifice and would draw men unto Him. You know, when you stop and think about this, it is a remarkable thing. It's just remarkable. This gospel, and it sort of, you know, reminds me of that. It's likened unto a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds. Here we are. This word of God continues to move. God works in the hearts of men. It's moving all over the world. Think about that. God sees to this. He sees to His word. And we're a part of it. You know, we get to play a small part in this amazing thing that God and Jesus Christ are pulling off. You know, and we'll see the fullness of it one day. It's going to be crowded. Anyway. So, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. See, all of these things equal believing. And what he's going to do here in this neat, he's talking to the Jews who were murmuring, and he's going to go right into sacrificial language. See, to really bring this thing home. That manna was a shadow of the true bread that would come down from heaven. But in addition, what we'll see, we'll read it. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? This should have spoken to them. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. These are powerful verses. But it's sacrificial language. It is not only the true bread in relation to the manna, but it's making reference here to the Passover, to the meat offering, to the drink offering. And what that eating of the sacrifice represented was a full identification with that sacrifice that was given to God. Those things were a shadow of what the true Passover would do, what the true meal offering would be, what the true drink offering would be, the Lord Jesus Christ. The eating of my flesh is a very pointed figure of speech, but it is illustrating the sacrifices with which they should have been very, very familiar with. See, but they couldn't get past the physical. They couldn't get past. They were thinking eating with teeth. They couldn't get past it, and it blinded them. He is being so clear, so crystal clear as to who he is, what he's offering, who he's from, where he came from. It's amazing. So, he that eats my flesh, verse 56, and drinks my blood, dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. This is not unlike another figure. You remember the woman at the well? The water that he was offering was a fountain that would spring up into what? Eternal life. And then it says, many therefore, I'm sorry, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. You know, another thing to understand about this record real quick, and I probably should have mentioned this at the opening, this isn't a single dialogue. It could have covered a little period of time where he spoke to the multitude, then he speaks to the Jews. We're going to see here in a minute, he's going to speak to his disciples. Then it lands at, he's going to speak to the 12. Okay? So these things took place in a synagogue. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now pay close attention to this next verse. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Then he says, but there are some of you that what? Believe not. Among his disciples. Interesting. They were disciples, but they believed not. They hadn't accepted him as the Christ, as the Messiah. See? Maybe some of them wanted to believe it. Maybe there could have been different reasons, but they didn't believe. They didn't believe on him. That's why this was such a hard saying for them, because they hadn't accepted who he was. And so they left. Isn't that something? You know, in this context too, it's the Spirit that gives life, the Spirit that the flesh profits nothing. Those who were part of this dialogue with Jesus Christ were concerned about the flesh, how they could do by the flesh, how they would be fed, how the flesh could be fed. And what Jesus Christ is proclaiming, what Jesus Christ is offering, is so far superior to physical satisfaction. And it's a one-time deal. This bread endures. You know what that means? You don't have to come back for salvation three times a day. Right? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it endures forever. You will be raised the last day. And he ain't losing anybody. Because nobody plucks him out of the Father's hand. That's a nobody with capital letters. Well, we're about done here. So, some of you believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They left. Wow. Verse 68. Or then 67. Now he's with the 12. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? This is so awesome. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. It's really remarkable. They did believe that he was who he said he was. They still had a ways to go to fully accept some things, as we'll see. As you continue to read in the Word. Not long after this came the feeding of the 4,000. He asked them the same question. Well, guys, what are we going to do? I don't know. Yeah. It's just human, right? So Simon answers, where are we going to go? We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ is the bread of life. This description of who he was and what he would do. And it's so cool to just put yourself there, to see these things with these men and watch Jesus Christ, his walk with God. John chapter 5, the preceding chapter from what we just read, it really concentrates on the relationship of the Son of God to the Father. The authority that he had been given by God. The witness of the Father as to who he was. All they that are in the graves will hear my voice. This authority the Father has given me. So it's that relationship with the Father. But here in 6, it's the Son of God, the Son of Man in relation to man. He was the provider. He provided in the wilderness. And then when they asked for physical bread, he offered himself. Which was eternal life. Isn't that remarkable? So it's just kind of fun to see that kind of thing in the Word and what a complete Savior our Lord was. So amen?
Amen.